Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Lucy for bringing Glenera's story to my attention. This case reminds me so much of Oakley Carlson. This is a story of a sweet little girl born into a household of chaos. She was placed with a foster family who was obsessed with her and her siblings, and this baby flourished. Life was going so well with this family, there were talks of adoption. But somehow the biological parents figured a way to work the system, and Glenera was given back to them, only for a beautiful light to be dimmed until she wasted away to nothing. March 2015, Cincinnati, Ohio. A mother raced into emergency holding the lifeless body of her two-year-old daughter. The girl's emaciated body showing signs of severe abuse and neglect. But then how, just 3 weeks earlier, did a CPS caseworker report the same little girl happy and healthy in a safe environment? So many questions. And at its core was a sweet baby girl who had been essentially starved and beaten to death. This is Glenera's story.
He slammed her into a wall the day that she died. Glenera and her siblings had been removed from the home only to be returned. Her death led two social workers to resign. Two supervisors were suspended.
Glenera Bates was born January 2013 in Cincinnati, Ohio, to parents Andrea Bradley and Glenn Bates. At the time Glenera was born, Bradley and Bates had already lost custody of their other five children due to a long history of abuse, neglect and drug use. Bradley in particular had been on the radar of Hamilton County Job and Family Services, or JFS as we'll refer to them throughout this story. She had been on JFS's radar for a long time. Bradley gave birth to her first child at age 15, and she basically had a child a year after this with a total of four men, two of which were in jail at the time our story takes place. Soon to be three baby daddies, but I'm getting ahead of myself here. Bradley first came to JFS's attention in 2007, when one of her children was born with marijuana in their system. And then in 2009, Bradley was convicted of endangering another one of her children. This poor, sweet child was treated for severe bruising on their back, legs, neck, eyes, and they had trouble walking. Bradley didn't serve any jail time for this, and instead she was hospitalised for extreme depression and bipolar. It should be no surprise to anyone that when Glenera was born, she too was removed from Bradley and Bates's custody and placed with the same foster family that had been caring for four of her other siblings. A fifth, I get the impression this is the eldest child. They were living with Bradley's mother, Desanna Bradley. At this time, Bradley was ordered to undergo drug treatment, parenting classes, and mental health counselling. She had to take random drug testing. She and Bates were seemingly doing everything they had to remain in their children's lives. In the meantime, Glenera and her siblings were living with Peg Fontaine and her husband. She would later describe Glenera as a jolly, happy Buddha baby, and they loved her like she was their own. In the 8 months she lived with the Fontaines, Glenera flourished. She was meeting all of her milestones and she was happy. No one expected Bradley to remain on the straight, and Peg had inquired about adopting Glenera and her siblings. They had fallen in love with the baby, and how could you not? She was deliciously chubby, weighing about 20 pounds or around 9 kilograms when she was 8 months old. She had these incredibly large dark brown doe eyes and the sweetest smile. But Glenera's long and happy life with the Fontaines wasn't meant to be. And in September 2013, the Hamilton County Family Courts ruled in favour of the children being returned to Bradley and Bates. Bradley doing so well in their eyes, it was determined that her progress would only be monitored for 3 months. After then, it would be case closed. Peg and her husband had the heartbreaking task of saying goodbye to the children they had bonded with, but promised they would visit regularly and stay in their lives. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. December 2014, Andrea Bradley and Glenn Bates brought almost two-year-old Glenera into emergency. It was clear to medical staff this little girl was malnourished. Glenera was unable to walk and severely underweight. At the time, weighing a little over 17 pounds or 7.5 kilograms. 3 pounds or almost 1.5 kilograms less than what she weighed with the Fontaines. A child of Glenera's age should have weighed more like 26 pounds or 12 kilograms. Glenera was given the diagnosis of failure to thrive, and she was put on IV fluids to help raise her weight and hydrate her. She would have been dehydrated and in dire need of fluids. But after this, Glenera was sent back home with her parents, Bradley only being told to feed her daughter more and sent them on their way. Now, doctors would not report this obvious neglect to police or JFS. This is despite Ohio having mandatory reporting obligations. And as we have seen with other stories on this podcast, doctors, childcare workers, teachers, they are all mandated by law to report any suspected case of abuse or neglect. Failure to do this is a misdemeanor and carries with it serious punishments. However, it is unclear in my research whether anyone was charged for not reporting the neglect to little Glenera. Around this same time, Peg Fontaine and her husband kept their word and went to the home on the 2600 block of Hackberry Street, arms piled with gifts for Glenera and her siblings. But Bates and Bradley would not even come to the door. Peg would later tell reporters that she saw one of the older girls through a window. She was just standing there, blank stare. This was enough of a concern to Peg that she filed a report with JFS. It would take months before anyone would even pick up this report. And in March of 2015, a caseworker went out to the home to interview Bradley and to check on the children. In this caseworker's report, they would state that everything in the home looked good and that Glenera was happy and healthy. But then why? Only 3 weeks later, on March 29th, 2015, was Glenera again taken to emergency, emaciated, covered in bruises and barely clinging on to life. March 29th, 2015. Andrea Bradley would walk into Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, holding 2-year-old Glenera's lifeless body in her arms. Glenera was literally skin over bones. She had lost another 4 pounds, being now only 13 pounds or 6.5 kilograms, the average weight of a 3-month-old baby. It was clear there was no saving the toddler, and she would be pronounced dead soon after arrival. Glenera was covered in bruises and abrasions, with more than 100 wounds to her body. 3 of her teeth were missing, with 2 being the front teeth. Now, anyone with kids will tell you, 2-year-olds don't lose their teeth naturally. And the medical examiner would later determine these teeth were knocked out with force. Glenera had bite marks and numerous lacerations, as well as marks from being whipped with a belt. Glenera had literally been beaten from head to toe. She had scars over scars, bruises, abrasions, burns and open sores. She had severe blunt force trauma to her head and broken ribs. Glenera had one particularly large gash to her head that would later be determined Bradley had tried to sew up with a needle and thread before taking her daughter to the hospital. The Hamilton County coroner would testify at the criminal trial that Glenera's was one of the worst cases of child abuse he had ever seen, that the toddler had likely gone days without food or water, and before that most likely fed just once a day. However, it was his view that if she'd been taken to hospital sooner, it is possible she may have survived her horrific injuries, ruling her cause of death due to be blunt force injury and starvation, manner of death, homicide. Now, obviously there were questions. How could a healthy and happy little girl become so emaciated and covered in more than 100 wounds in a space of just 3 weeks? Glenera was so underweight and malnourished, there was no way she wouldn't have been that way when the caseworker attended the home. So was this a case of there was no home visit? Or if there was, there was no way the caseworker could have laid eyes on the girl. On the same day Glenera died, March 29th, 2015, Andrea Bradley and Glenn Bates were arrested and charged with first-degree murder, aggravated murder and endangering children. These are very serious charges, and since we are in Ohio here, the death penalty was certainly on the table, and the prosecution were very vocal that asking for this was their intention. At the time of her arrest, Bradley was heavily pregnant with her 8th child, a child that she would give birth to in jail. All of Glenera's siblings, who were aged between 1 and 8 years old, they were taken to hospital to be examined. And even though Bradley had been guilty of abusing these children as well in the past, they didn't seem to have any current signs of abuse and neglect. For reasons that aren't clear, it seems that Bradley and Bates' attention was solely on Glenera as a target for their anger and hatred. During his official police interviews, Glenera's father, Glenn Bates, blamed his daughter's death completely on Bradley, although he would admit to biting the girl on the arms and chest. But this was all for fun, and he never intended to harm her. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. What monster bites a two-year-old's arm and chest for fun? What a fucking idiot. Bates claimed the belt marks was because when he was at work, Bradley would whip Glenera. Although it has been theorised by investigators, this isn't exactly what happened, and it was Bates who actually whipped Glenera with the belt. At one point, the investigators showed Bates 5 photos of his daughter, showing all of her severe injuries all over her body. However, Bates was seemingly unaffected, showing no emotional response. Bates also claimed that Glenera's horrific diaper rash was due to her being made sleep in the bathtub, that he and Bradley made her sleep there because she would frequently wet the bed, which, of course, she did. She was 2 years old, and most children that age haven't mastered staying dry throughout the night. That's part and parcel of being a parent to a toddler. But then when police went to process the family home as a crime scene, this bathtub was filled with feces and blood. This is where Glenera was forced to sleep at night, alone and cold and most definitely afraid of what was going to happen to her next. The family would also go out and leave Glenera in the bathtub with just a can of food. Glenera never left the house, neighbours stating they didn't even know this little girl existed. When Bates was asked why Glenera had to eat in the bathroom and not with the rest of the family, all Bates could say was it was because she made too much of a mess, that there was occasions where they would make her a place at the table with them, but she would just go straight to the bathroom. And I wonder why. She was terrified and conditioned to that's where she belonged. It wouldn't be until the second interview with police would Bates admit to the horrors Glenera went through by his hands. He admitted on the day before Glenera died, he'd held her upside down in a doorway and let her go, causing her to fall at force on her head. Now, Bates would argue this was all a tragic accident and he never meant to hurt her, that Glenera slipped out of his hands. But come on, he really isn't fooling anyone at this point. Bates claimed that after this, Glenera was fine. But then the next morning, March 29th, 2015, Andrea Bates had woken him, that something was terribly wrong with Glenera. Her lips were purple and she didn't seem to be breathing. She was cold to the touch.
What'd you find out?
She was cold. She
appeared to be alive?
It seemed like she was, because that's how she always be looking, like, just so.
Cold and not breathing?
Nah, she gonna be cold, but she was just laying there looking, you know what I'm saying? But when she brought it to me, and I felt her, she was cold, and like I said, her lips were purple, and I just told her to take her. Like, and that was it. I mean, I do, but it just.
Just what?
Just don't seem real right now.
What's fake about it? I'm having a hard time believing that any of this stuff took place and you have no knowledge about it or you didn't pay that much attention to it.
I told him everything I knew. I knew about her teeth being out. I knew about the thing on her forehead. I'm just now seeing this shit. Like I said, I ain't changed her diaper. I seen the bruises on her leg.
And if I'm correct, the bite marks you did, right?
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
Because we be playing like dog, he gonna get you and all of that, and I'm shaking, probably bit her too hard, something like that. But
you play what?
I never see, like doggy, like chasing her around, then biting her and stuff like a dog, like that.
So you put her, you put your mouth on her right here, bite down on her and shake her. Is that right?
Well, not shake her like that, but you know how a dog do, like, eh. Like, it ain't like she crying while I'm doing it. She playing. It's a game we play. You feel me? But not like no, believe no marks. Like, I didn't even know she had no marks.
You play this game with her shirt on or shirt off?
When she got her whole onesie on. Like, her whole suit. The overalls.
Right.
Yeah.
So, do you agree, if you left a mark here, you bit her pretty hard?
Yeah, if it's a mark, yeah. So you have to get
you agree with that?
Too hard, yeah.
Not once, but maybe twice. There's another one over here, right?
Yeah.
So was this done on the same day?
sure. Well, I know what happened was that after she ate, she usually eat in that bathroom too. So she fed her, and I guess she was on the quicksand, I guess. She fed her, and she went to sleep in the bathroom after she ate. She sat there, lay down, went to sleep. Yesterday, I just recall her, like, pretty much yesterday, she was just trying to get her to drink some water. She was like, kept saying she was dehydrated.
And what was that like?
She was just like real tired and sleepy. Act like she was real sleepy. Just laying down all day.
The baby?
Yeah. She like giving her Pedialyte and water, like she dehydrated because she won't drink no water.
Next, it was Andrea Bradley's turn to speak with investigators. And like her partner, she was quick to point the finger at the other person as the aggressor. She would claim she was in an abusive relationship with Bates, and he had manipulated her, which is why she stayed with him, and kept herself and the children in a dangerous situation. According to Bradley, there had been a time where he bit their daughter, and he'd actually ripped a piece of skin off into his mouth. It wouldn't be until Bradley's eldest daughter testified at trial, was there a clear picture of the dynamics in the household. This 10-year-old girl told investigators that Bradley and Bates hated her little sister, especially her mother. That Glenera was kept in the bathroom and only given food once a day. She said that living in the house was an existence of misery and suffering. That all the siblings wanted to help Glenera, but they didn't know how to, without risking their own safety. This little girl would tell a different story of what happened the night before Glenera's death. That Bate had actually held the toddler by the ankles and swung her into the wall. The 10-year-old said Glenera cried for a few minutes, but then got quiet. The next morning, the girl said that she saw their mother holding her baby sister, that Glenera's eyes were closed and she wasn't moving. Something which honestly had me pause when I read it. When this little girl testified at the criminal trial, she was asked if she liked her new foster home. She is now living with a family in a rural part of Western Ohio, and her chores include feeding the family cats and chickens. This little girl has been through so much in her short life, she broke down in tears. Quote, "I don't have to go through all that misery. I don't have to go through all that suffering." Unquote. It sounds like she is in a loving home and she gets to be a kid and not having to worry about surviving and her siblings surviving. And this brave girl needs all the love and support. Her foster family sounds like the most incredible people, and that is to be commended. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. Both Glenn Bates and Andrea Bradley were offered plea deals that would remove the death penalty off the table and instead offer a whole-of-life sentence instead. This would be rejected by both defendants. Bates because he wanted the chance to be a father to his son, and Bradley because her attorneys argued she was not mentally competent to stand trial. Bradley has an IQ of 67, and that falls below the threshold for a death penalty sentence, which is an IQ of 70. October 2016. Glenn Bates was found guilty of 2-year-old Glenera Bates's murder and he was sentenced to death. Bates would be emotionless when his sentence was read. During the trial, his attorneys did what they could to place all the blame onto Bradley, saying she was mentally ill and was the one around the children most of the time. That Bates had only lived in the home for a week or two, spending the majority of his time before this at his mother's house in North College Hill. Andrea Bradley would ultimately plead no contest to her charges, and she'd be sentenced to 15 years to life. At her sentencing hearing, Bradley would tell Judge Megan Shanahan that she didn't care if she died. Quote, "It don't matter what I want. Give the world what they want. The world wants the death penalty. Give it to them. I don't care." Unquote. Glenn Bates would end up successfully appealing his death sentence on the premise he'd been tried unfairly, because his attorneys had not questioned a white juror who had expressed her racial bias in a questionnaire. He was again offered a plea deal which reduced his sentence to 25 years to life. He will receive credit for 8 years already served.
Hamilton County Job and Family Services said that it failed to follow its own rules when the little girl was placed back with her parents. Now today's lawsuit seeks to make sure that something like that never happens again.
The torture, starvation, and death of Glenera Bates arises directly from the obvious and egregious misconduct by the Hamilton County Department of Job and Family Services. That's an excerpt from the suit filed against the county after little Glenera Bates was killed.
Decina Bradley, who's our client, who was the child's grandmother, couldn't believe that Glenera was going to be returned to her parents, and ultimately that's what Hamilton County decided.
Flanked by Hamilton County Coroner Dr. Lakshmi Samarko, Prosecutor Joe Dieters at the time said his office was always against the return of Glenera to her parents, Andrea Bradley and Glenn Bates.
AFS. Yeah, I think they dropped the ball.
And now Dieter's office is put in the position of defending the county against the suit.
The county didn't follow any procedures that they had in place for themselves to follow. This child fell through the cracks.
Putting these kids back in these houses where their parents are so abusive or their boyfriends are so abusive.
Or neglectful.
Right. I mean, it's insane.
Children can't protect themselves, and we have to look out for the smallest citizens, and that's what was supposed to happen here.
A federal rights lawsuit was filed by Glenera's maternal grandmother, Desana Bradley. The lawsuit claiming JFS officials knew the toddler was being abused, and yet still left her with her parents. Quote, Glenera was removed from the cruel and inhumane custody of her parents, and then thrown back into that squalor and depravity. Unquote. The lawsuit also claimed JFS caseworkers ignored Bradley's history of abusing her children. They also failed to properly investigate a report of abuse of her granddaughter that she filed herself. There has been no further information being made available on this lawsuit. I imagine knowing how long these kinds of lawsuits are drawn out, it's still awaiting a hearing. I will keep you all updated. Glenera's murder has seen some action. Two JFS caseworkers have resigned, and the agency has promised to make changes. Let's see if these changes are implemented so no more children have to lose their lives by the hands of their abusers. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice. And subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.